Double Jeopardy, Sir Coney. Trekking moves up on the outside. He hasn't flinched on it yet. And as needs a run, so too Tamaz is getting through the pack with Tesla Kentucky Breeze. Trekking moves up to Sir Coney at the 200 metres. Tamaz needs a run badly. Kentucky Breeze is hanging tough. Sir Coney kicks on the inside. It's a big finish. Sir Coney, Trekking, Kentucky Breeze, and Murakib from the clouds. They hit it. Kentucky Breeze. Kentucky Breeze has beaten Murakib for third. Sir Coney or Mr. So-and-so.
Well, that was a replay of the last race for the Flemington Carnival, with Kentucky Breeze taking out the black type event over 1,400 metres for trainer Levi Kavanagh. Levi, congratulations. What a great win this was for you on Saturday.
Thanks, Nadia. Yeah, it was excellent. You know, first runner for me for the Carnival. Been training for a couple of years now, and to be able to place him perfectly and get a bit of luck on the day, and everything fell into place. It was great.
I think that's the real key too, is the fact that you had faith in this horse, stepping him up from a maiden at stall to run him into a black type race over the Carnival. It was a pretty aggressive move.
It was. I identified this race a few weeks out, and I thought if he did do well in his maiden, it potentially will head that way. I thought that sort of towards the end of the Carnival, sometimes the field might not be as big, and it might just work out that we get a suitable race. And I think some of the owners thought we were just having a roll at the stump, which is fine. I said to them, look, if we don't run in that listed race, we'll go to a benchmark 64 the next week for three-year-olds. But I said, if I do decide to run him, it'll be because I think he's around the mark. And, you know, you can have a Carnival runner, and if he's right up to it, I was happy if he ran in the top three, which I thought he could. And luckily, he went one better and got the job done.
He must have shown you great improvement after his win at stall.
He did. Although it was at stall, the way he won was what really took my eye. Fancied him a lot. He was entitled not to win that race. He was pushed out on the turn by the horse on the inside. He covered more ground than everything, and then he really knuckled down and ran exceptional sectionals to finish off and win the race. He got sort of pushed back. He might have nearly been midfield on the turn and wide. And as he straightened up, you know, Robbo did a good job to push him back towards the fence, and he really came home strongly in what was good time. And from that, he took a ton of improvement. The reason I went to stall partly was to give him a good ride in the truck and get him out of Flemington and get him out of the stable into a country sort of area where he could hopefully win and get confidence up. And, you know, he just turned inside out from that. His work improved. As I stepped him up to work over more ground, he improved. And I pitted him against a little older horse who has been performing well in town, Bored Again, on the Tuesday before, and he probably had the upper hand on him. So I thought, well, you know, the field looks fine, and I think he's made the necessary improvement to go into that race, and just worked out.
And he didn't get things all his own way on Saturday either. Look, he was pushed down on the turn again.
He did. I think he likes it rough. He sort of slap around and he fights back harder. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, he was entitled to sort of not finish off as strong as he did and probably run fourth or fifth, and we still would have been happy and he didn't get all the luck. But, no, I think that made him forward on even stronger, and he pins his ears back and just reels off good sectionals in the end. And even over 1,400, he was still strong on the line to hold everything off. And as Corey said after the race, and what I'm thinking as well, is once he, you know, even a mile a bit further, maybe 2,000, he's still going to be strong. And look, it's scary to say, but he actually took improvement out of that run. The next day he bounced out of the stalls. His coat was glimmering more than it was on race day. So, you know, there's still a lot more in the tank for him.
Have you turned him out, or will you back him up in 7 days heading into Sandown? What's the plan?
No, I'm not going to back him up. I'm going to tip him out now. Well, I have actually. He's in the paddock now, running around at our farm at Gisborne. And he's at the top of his game. He's improved a lot over the last few weeks. And I think right at this time of year, the sun's out. We've got lots of excellent grass spring grass on our farm. I think just a couple of weeks will do him the world of good here. Be a bit of a reward for him as well. And then I can focus on the new year where I haven't decided what the program is yet. I'll just let the dust settle over the next couple of weeks while he's in the paddock, and I'll map out a plan for him, whether that's autumn or whether it's, Adelaide or Queensland carnivals. But I think there's definitely some better races in him over longer distances as well.
You purchased him as a yearling. What were some of the things that attracted you towards him as a youngster?
He stood over a lot of ground. He's a big horse, but he was quite well balanced. He wasn't too big, and sometimes we call them a bit boaty if they're too big. But he was well balanced. He was a nice type. He looked a bit ahead of everything. I thought he might be a lot earlier than he actually has been, because he's just coming into himself now as a three-year-old. Thought we might run him as a two-year-old when I first bought him, but as I tipped him out after the sales, he actually grew further. And just took a bit of time to fill out and grow into himself, basically, let himself catch up to his body. But he's filled out and he looks a picture now. He's because he's big, he's got quite a big stride on him. I was also interested in the Pierros. He looked very much like his father, colour-wise and the stance he had. He was very boisterous at the sale, and I think that turned a few people off, plus the fact that the Melbourne sale, a lot of people were after the Vobis horses, and he was bred in New South Wales, so he sort of fell through the cracks a little bit. I still paid $100,000 for him, but I think that was pretty cheap considering his brothers and sisters. I'm not sure which was which, but one sold for $850 in the family, and another one sold for $350, and okay. We were able to pick this one up for $100.
So he was a good buy. You knew you'd already got a bargain before you saw him race, really.
Yeah, well, not that $100,000 is cheap by any means. It was a quality pedigree, and he was a nice type of horse too. So, and you've got to pay for that. And he was never not being a filly, and I knew straight away as we purchased him, we weren't going to be looking for stud value for him as a colt. He was quite boisterous, to say the least. So it was always on the agenda to geld him. So you're basically buying a racehorse, and if he doesn't turn out that good, well, once they're not racing, you can't really earn much money for them. They're good in an equestrian yard or something like that. But no, it's all worked out pretty good for him so far. And I think taking the plunge to geld him early was also part of it. He really relaxed nicely, and if we had left him a bit later, he might not be the horse he is now.
Very, very good point that you do bring up. You look at yourself heading into another sales period like you are. You're obviously planning on building your team up in the next couple of years.
Yes, I hope to. I've been buying a few horses, not strongly at the sales. Just as you start out, you slowly build up, and Rome wasn't built in a day, and don't expect to have a stable full of 20 or 30 horses straight away, but he's part of the first few that I've bought. Three, I think, I've bought and have got to the track. I've bought more than three horses, but they haven't. Mm-hmm. I've got a few babies that haven't raced yet. So for him to come out and do that, Soho Ruby's another one who's been winning in town, and she's sort of set to go up to Magic Millions in the new year. And then I've got another one there who's only had a couple of runs, Blinky O'Reilly. He's going to step out over a bit further in the summer period. He's showing plenty of potential too. It's pretty good to have a percentage of a small amount of horses be able to step up to the mark. So hopefully as I can increase my horses, if I can keep around that percentage, it's going to be fantastic, although that's not always going to happen. But yeah, exactly. You only need a few good ones in the stable, and it keeps you going.
Exactly. Look, on a personal note, and I'm sure you would have thought about this yourself, I bet you thought that that wife of yours nearly would have had the baby on Saturday.
Yeah, she's about 10 days out from having the 9 days now. And she was going to come to the races in the morning because she's part owner in that horse too. And then she got tired in the afternoon, and I said, just stay home, it's fine. And she called me up after the race, and I thought, oh no, she's gone into labour. After cheering at home down the straight. anyway, she said, oh, maybe we can go out. It's, I've got a second wind now after the win. I said, oh, I don't think so. I think we'll just stay at home.
Yeah, just a bit of advice. Just take it slow this week, all right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was actually the owners all wanted to go out and celebrate, and I had a glass of champagne with them and then went home to be on baby watch.
Oh, you did the right thing, did you?
Yes. Hopefully my next stakes win, I can party a bit harder than that one. Hopefully that's the quietest I'll ever celebrate one.
Yes, but it'll probably be your most memorable and your most important stakes win as a trainer, always the first one.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I mean, just exciting to have it at home track at Flemington. It's my first Flemington winner, and to have it in Carnival Week on the big stage is just, a dream come true.
How many runners have you had at Flemington? That would have only been about your third or fourth runner, wouldn't it?
I have. Sonia's run there a couple of times, and she probably should have won one or two of them and got a bit of bad luck and missed kicks and got back. And so, yeah, I haven't figured there yet, but, it's good to do with stakes grade race first up.
Exactly. Well, it's been a big 12 months for you, Levi, training a stakes winner on Saturday. And I'll give you a bit of trivia. You know, 12 months ago today, you trained your first winner.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go. Amazing the things that... Well, I hope so. I hope you're right there. Well, well done on Saturday with Kentucky Breeze, and I'm sure you've got a pretty handy horse on your hands, and we look forward to seeing what can happen in the next 12 months. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Nadia. Appreciate it.
There he is, Levi Kavanagh, talking about his first stakes success with Kentucky Breeze winning.